Genealogy by Tim, Season 4, Episode 6, recorded June 30th, 2024. It is done. I have finally finished transcribing names from mumma.org. I move on from that project to researching the Grahams in honor of John Patrick Graham, my grandfather's cousin, who died last December at the age of 86. And in the process, I run into a paywall at billiongraves.com. All that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. Looking back at some of my old posts, it was the March 2023 episode of the podcast, Season 3, Episode 3, that I first announced that I was getting mummified. I was committed to going through each of the names of each of the mummas descended from my immigrant ancestor, Peter Mumma, who arrived on these shores in 1748. I didn't appreciate at the time how big this project would be. At the time, my family tree was running maybe about 1,100, 1,200 individuals. A year and 4 months later, after transcribing all the names of all the descendants that Doug Mumma put up on his famous mumma.org website, my family tree is now at 6,825 individuals. Mind you, that's only a sampling of the 89,856 individuals that Doug has posted on his website, descended not only from Peter Mumma, but also some relatives of Peter Mumma who arrived before him, including a Jacob Mumma and a Leonard Mumma. I have no plans at this time to begin transcribing the names of Jacob Mumma and Leonard Mumma because I don't believe that Doug has a definitive relationship for them on his website. They could be siblings. I believe that the Family Search family tree has them as siblings, but without documentation on that fact. I believe Jacob and Leonard are older, at least they arrived about 16, 17 years ahead of Peter. It could be an uncle-nephew relationship or a cousin relationship, I'm not sure, but suffice it to say I currently have no plans to transcribe all the descendants of Jacob and Leonard in addition to Peter. Peter was enough. And I'm ready to shift focus away from that project and that name to other endeavors. Before I move away from that, let me mention that there's always more to do. Early on in the Mumma transcription project, I wrote my citations one way, and then about halfway through the project, I changed the way I wrote the citations. So I'm going to want to go back to the earlier entries and bring those earlier citations in conformity with the later citations. That's going to take a while, but there's no urgency in that. Remember, one of the reasons I wanted to get this project done is that the mumma.org website has been up as long as I've been doing genealogy, and I've seen websites disappear, and there often isn't warning when a website disappears, so I wanted to get this information while it was up. There isn't any indication that mumma.org is going anywhere, but like I said, sometimes these things disappear without warning, and a site that's been up as long as mumma.org, it just pays to take precautions, that's all I'm saying. Also, early in the transcription project, I spared myself the trouble of transcribing marriage information and kept mainly to birth and death information for each individual. Toward the end of the project, I started including marriage information, but I may go back and fill in some marriage dates as I see fit. And that isn't a total urgency, but I believe it would be nice to have. So we may not have seen the last of mumma.org, but at least all the names of all the descendants of Peter Mumma from that website have been included in my website at Genealogy by Tim. The database now runs 6,825 individuals strong, thanks in no small part to the fine work of Doug Mumma. So after mostly wrapping up the MUMMA transcription project, the question naturally arises, where do we go from here? What do I do next? I kind of forgot what other genealogy I was doing. So if you look at my top 10 surnames at webtrees.genealogybytim.com, the number one surname is naturally MUMMA at 742 individuals. Second place is Graham, my surname, at 138. I thought to myself, you know, I am a Graham. The website is Genealogy by Tim G, after all. G stands for Graham. I should work on the Grahams a little bit. I should see if I can get them back up to number one. It's going to be a lot of work. But I do have a known Graham ancestor who was born in the 18th century. And that is John Graham, who was born in 1797 and died in 1879. If I work on the descendants of that John Graham, I don't see why I can't get all the way up to 742 Grahams and beyond in the tree. The trouble with that line, though, is that that research is in Ireland. I am not in Ireland. I'm not sure how much research material has been posted online since the last time I really delved into my own surname. But I figured, hey, look, now's a good time to get back into it and see what's out there and what's available. So I spent some time this week on irishgenealogy.ie pulling some birth records for my grandfather's grandfather, John C. Graham, and some of his siblings. You may now find some of those records linked in the source citations on my website, webtrees.genealogybytim.com. So that's pretty cool, but I don't think it's quite enough. That's not going to get me up to 742 Grahams, that alone. There's going to be a lot of church records I'm going to have to find that I don't believe are posted yet to irishgenealogy.ie. A lot of newspaper articles that I don't believe are up on newspapers.com yet. And a lot of court records, wills, deeds that I don't know if are up online anywhere. That may require an actual trip to Ireland, which is not in the cards yet, but maybe, you know, as I, you know, establish myself financially, that may be in the future, but it'll be a while. But yeah, I've decided, hey, it's been a while since I've done my own name. Let's get back into that. Another thing that spurred interest in Graham family research was that I recently learned of the passing of my grandfather's cousin, John Patrick Graham, who was born on October 5th, 1937, and died last winter, December 23rd, 2023, at the age of 86. John was one of the first people to contact me after finding my website, and he said words to the effect of, hey, I saw your write-up on my grandfather, John C. Graham. I'd like to meet up, etc., etc. We did eventually meet up. He has a beautiful house in Avalon, New Jersey. I used to work at the Avalon Free Public Library, and I wheeled over to his summer home there, and we met, talked family, and later in the summer, John visited my grandfather, and I was the first time in many, many, many years that my grandfather, Joseph A. Graham, saw his cousin, John P. Graham. And they caught up and shared old family photos. John has, or had, I should say, a public member tree at Ancestry.com that I found very useful and incorporated a lot of that information into my own family tree. So John Patrick Graham, I was hoping to see him again, join him on his back deck, but as not to be. He passed away last winter, December 23rd, 2023, at the age of 86, and so I used his online obituary on the Delavecchia Riley Smith and Boyd Funeral Home website to fill in more descendants of him, first of all, and his father, Francis V. Graham. I learned in the process that John had a brother, Joseph, who died in 2017. That's the year after we met. The two of them both have obituaries at the Della Vecchia Riley Smith and Boyd Funeral Home website, so I filled in both of their informations. Now, of course, on the website, people who are still living, it doesn't show information about them. It just shows living, so hopefully I'm not, well, put it this way, I'm not certainly not divulging anything that isn't already online, but on my site, the living people are shown as living. It doesn't show their details. Now, in both cases, the funeral was listed as private, or I should say, the interment was listed as private. So I don't know where John is buried. Joseph, who died in 2017, has a memorial at findagrave.com that places his burial at St. Agnes Roman Catholic Cemetery in West Goshen Township, Chester County. John may be there as well, or he may be with his parents at Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, not far from my home in Jenkintown. So I'll have to check those out in the coming weeks, see if I can find and pay my respects to John Patrick Graham and or his brother Joseph, who have inspired me to return to Graham surname research here at Genealogy by Tim. Also in the process of adding more information to the Grahams in my family tree, I went looking for a full photograph of the Graham family monument at Aughnacloy Cemetery in the area of Port Glenone, Ballymena, County Antrim. I went looking for the full photograph of the gravestone on billiongraves.com, so I knew it was there, because John, who went on a trip to Ireland in 2016-2017, sent me photographs of this monument, but it doesn't show the full monument. It just shows the bottoms where the names are, but there's a big, beautiful Celtic cross that isn't shown in the pictures that John sent to me. I did see the full image of the monument at billiongraves.com. I wanted to check that out, maybe make sure I had that in my family tree. But guess what? At some point over the last year or so, Billion Graves has put up a paywall of sorts so that you can't get in and see the photographs unless you contribute in some way to the website. Now, you have a choice here. You can either contribute financially to the operation of the website, or you can contribute some work hours, either photographing cemeteries or transcribing photos that others have taken. So for the past couple days, I've been tapping away at my keyboard, transcribing photos. You have to transcribe 250 to be granted access, 250 gravestone transcriptions to be granted access to the images on the website. I'm at about 202, I think. And sometime soon, probably on Monday morning, I will Twitch myself doing the rest of them. So we'll give you a visual of how this process works, and hopefully it'll let me in to see the picture that I want to see. But I thought that was an interesting development. I wasn't quite sure when exactly that took place. Some people are not pleased with the change. I'm looking at Reddit here, and there's a request on here. It says, "Hey guys, does anyone have full access on Billion Graves and can provide me the images of this record?" And it has a record that they want to see the images, but they can't. It says, "Haven't used Billion Graves in a while and didn't realize they've started blocking things behind a paywall." And then a user commented and said, "Wow, that is new. Dirty pool. Get oodles of free content and free labor through volunteers, then charge people to view. Scumbags." So that's one user's opinion. But money is not the only way to pass the paywall. You can also pass the paywall by contributing either photographs or transcriptions. And that, to me, doesn't seem so bad. I think, you know, a lot of us genealogists are used to things like this being free, and maybe we don't always appreciate the work that goes into making sites like Find a Grave and Billion Graves possible. So a little work to view, I think, is, you know, it's actually, in a way, it's kind of fair. I'm not totally opposed to doing that. And, you know, one reason is I have fulfilled Find a Grave requests, especially at the Har Nebo Jewish Cemetery in the Oxford Circle section of Philadelphia. I fulfilled some Find a Grave requests that have been up for 15 years. And one of the rules of Find a Grave is it's all volunteer. So really, you just have to find nice people who are willing to do this work for nothing. And, you know, depending on how the economy is, those people may not be so easy to find. So a policy like what Billion Graves is doing with their work to view paywall / work wall, I'm interested to see if, you know, they'll get a lot more done on this site. I'm interested to see if they'll get a lot more photos done, a lot more transcriptions done. Either that, or people will just throw their hands up and leave Billion Graves and be like, I'm not doing this, I'm going to do more for Find a Grave. I don't know. I'm not quite sure how it'll turn out, but I think it's kind of fair. And not a bad idea that it's not just a paywall, but it's also a contribution wall. So I've got 202 transcriptions done. I'm going to twitch the remainder of them on probably Monday morning, and we'll see what it's like to earn my image viewing at Billion Graves. As I wrap up another month of the podcast, I'd just like to mention that tomorrow will be July, and I still don't have summer plans in order. This is normally the time that I'm so excited to get out and go places and do things. I have all my plans lined up. But right now, schedule's open. Nothing has been penciled in. But the list of things I want to do kind of keeps growing. And then by the time I do the podcast again at the end of July, I'd like to see which of these things I have finished. First of all, there's a lot of graves around here that I haven't been to yet and should get out to, including John and Joseph Graham, whom I mentioned earlier, but also my great-aunt Sheila, my sister-in-law Carolyn. So finding and photographing graves in this area is one of the things I'll surely work on. I've also got to get to Lancaster, and my plans for Lancaster include, first of all, seeing the Soldiers Memorial Park, where David Donnelly has been memorialized. And then after that, there's some research that I want to do specifically for my Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania First Families application. Believe it or not, I don't have definitive birth or baptism information for Cora Klein. Cora Klein is my paternal grandmother's paternal grandmother, who is my gateway ancestor to the Lancaster countryside. I should go back and try to find birth information on her, but also her paternal grandmother, Catherine Hogendobler. I don't believe I have a definitive birth record for her. So there's some birth records that need to be filled in. After visiting Soldiers Memorial Park to see the memorial for David Klein Donnelly, I'm going to be doing research on birth records, see if I can pull up some of these birth records. Now, in the last week, I also had ruminations of visiting Washington, D.C. to do some citizen scanning and some gravesite photography at Arlington National Cemetery, and also possibly to visit the Copyright Office to look at some musical works authored by Samuel Anflick, my grandfather's cousin. These are things that I hope to do this summer, but before I get too deep into that, I think my first priority is to get a driver's license. I'm 43 years old, don't have a driver's license. I ride the bike everywhere. That may consume much of the month of July here, so I may not get to do the big trips until August, or maybe not ever, not sure. But there's a whole lot I want to do this summer. Not sure I'll fit it all in. Tune in next time to see what I actually managed to accomplish. Till then, everybody, I'm signing off. Keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.